Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with...
Tom Story. I play God and an act of God.
Evan Casey. I play the Archangel Michael.
Jamie Smithson. I play Gabriel.
Who I like to call the Holy Trinity here in WTOP today. As they mentioned, it's an act of God at Signature Theater from October 3rd to November 26th. Thanks so much for coming in, gentlemen. This is awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Before we dive too far in, explain sort of what God's up to in this one. It's like a 90-minute monologue with God, right?
Yeah. I mean, God has also brought his archangels along. He has a new version of the Ten Commandments because he feels that... mankind has misinterpreted his previous commandments, and he's chosen Signature Theater in Shirlington to deliver these new commandments. So he goes through the 10 of them with the help of his angels and with a little bit of help from the audience, and imparts these new laws on humanity.
Nice. You said there's some misinterpretations of those commandments. What are some of those that he thinks are being interpreted a little wrong by mankind?
Well, I mean, that's kind of like the spoiler of the whole show.
True. But, is there a way we can like hint at it without giving it away?
In terms of like sexuality, he's not anti-gay. He pretty much hates all of humanity.
He's just anti-person.
Right. I think he thinks that mankind is a glorious creation and a flawed creation, and he is just there to clarify what he actually meant. Also, it's worth noting that he has chosen to kind of inhabit the body of me, Tom Story, the actor.
So, amazing actor.
So all
Helen
of it
Hayes,
is...
You might have heard of it.
So it's all kind of filtered through... me. So it's not really God. It's like God filtered through me and my own sensibility.
We're not filtered through anybody, though.
Right.
We are Michael and Gabriel.
Yes. You're actually
yes.
We're here from yes. heaven today.
We're here to help as Michael and Gabriel.
Yeah. Do you tackle the other five, the 15 commandments that Mel Brooks dropped?
Yeah. Or I think those are lost to history.
They're lost to the history of the world.
Exactly.
Part one.
Right.
Okay, awesome. Well, let's go into your guys' characters a little bit. So you said that you were your Archangel Michael?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and Michael is sort of the sort of conduit for humanity, for God, and that's why Michael spends most of his show in the audience, getting questions from the audience and relaying them back to God and trying to ask the bigger picture questions. And Michael also sort of, the relationship between God and Michael takes a little bit of a turn throughout the course of the show because Michael begins to ask questions that God isn't entirely prepared to answer, I think.
Okay, you said something interesting there really quick. You said that you're fielding questions from the audience. Mm-hmm. Or does this differ show to show, or do you kind of just steer it?
There are. I have no doubt, having not gone into shows yet, I have no doubt that there will be elements of how the audience plays with us that will give us sort of different kinds of responses. But in general, the questions that we have sort of allow for the show to move in a specific way.
So they're kind of leading questions, but you'll see what they say.
Yeah,
and you
exactly.
I got you. Okay. What are we similar to how I asked him? I don't want to spoil those questions, but is there just a hint of like sort of what topics are you going?
Well, they're sort of. I mean, they are about as broad as you can expect them to be. The sort of general existential questions that are all on our minds. The kinds that sort of fall into the category of why are we here? What's your plan for the world? You know, what does existence mean? Those kinds of things that then God can riff on.
Gotcha. All right, and for you, Gabriel, tell us about your character.
I play Gabriel. No, I always say that the show is almost like The Daily Show. Like you have
it's written by a guy.
Yes. I'm the guy. If you picture like an Ellen show or The Daily Show, I'm the guy on the stage reading, you know, with the voice and reading his new commandments and being his friend and trying to help him in every way possible and tell these new commandments. So that's kind of my position, and to be funny occasionally.
You right. can hear, since we're on radio, you can hear Jamie's great sort of in a world voice
in
that
a
he
world.
Has just naturally, so it works well.
Right. So he'll be doing the trailer for an act.
Exactly.
Yes. Coming
so
soon.
Is it sort of a bit of like an angel, archangel on both his shoulders kind of a deal?
I think so. Okay. I think so. Yeah, exactly. And so much of this play is both these other actors in the room are so funny, and I think so much of this is just us playing around and having fun, and if we have fun, I think the audience is gonna have fun too, and I think that's one of the strong points of the show.
Yeah, the writing is really clever and unexpected and kind of like elaborate in interesting ways where you don't exactly know where it's going, and there are these long setups for some pretty great jokes and like revelations about this.
Pun intended.
Yeah. Exactly. This God who is not what you think he is.
Right. And what I like about the writing too is that it's not it's full of jokes, but they're not the sort of obvious always like here's the joke handed to you on a silver platter. They move fast and furious and you have to be paying attention because they'll fly by.
Exactly.
And speaking of the writing, we mentioned that it was a writer of The Daily Show. How do you say his name? David
Javerbaum.
Javerbaum. I was going to say Jagerbaum, but Javerbaum. Might be familiar with at least his tweets, right? Because this began with a Twitter handle, The Tweet of God.
Exactly.
Right. Yep. Explain that and how, do you know how he actually went from that and had all these 3 million followers and then was like, I'm gonna make a show out of this?
I don't know the full history of it, but I know that it began as a Twitter handle, which just shows you the power of social media these days, that then it went from that, which I think he had, as you said, 3 million followers, to a book.
Right.
Was I think The Last Testament, I think is what it was called, maybe, of God. And then from the book to a stage play with Jim Parsons in 2015 and then with Sean Hayes in 2016 when it came back for another limited run on Broadway.
Wow. And so he had to have been tempted to do the show with 140 characters on stage. But no, it's nice that he can expand this into a whole show. That's great. So definitely some funny writing, but a little bit of a lot of social commentary involved, it sounds like, too.
Yes.
And it sounds like you get a little bit of pop culture references too. I hear you take a dig at Kanye. Is this like a Jesus Walks thing or?
Yeah, well, there's a whole section of the play where God talks about how celebrities and sports figures use him in their speeches on SportsCenter and at the Oscars, and he's kind of fed up with it. Yeah, he's fed up with people claiming that he helped them win the game when he has absolutely zero interest in that.
The thing that always gets me is they point to the sky when they score, but they never they never like point to the ground when they
exactly.
when they drop the pass.
Right.
Exactly. But God's kind of fed up with that,
Yeah. And then he's also, there's things that are happening in America currently that he also has things to say about. So that is
So is that kind of rewritten? Because the show was on Broadway in like 2015, right? So is that kind of amended?
What's funny is I don't know if it actually has been rewritten that much since that time, but it still exists.
There are things that are still topical, and there are some areas of the script specifically footnoted that say that as the current culture exists, or where you're specifically performing the show, et cetera, you can amend or adjust this to cater to the audience that you're performing for.
Gotcha. Okay. So you mentioned a couple minutes ago about how you equated it to Ellen or Oprah, and you're that booming voice. The set is visually similar to that too, right? Explain kind of what we see in the space.
Exactly. It's almost like like you're walking on the Ellen Show. I think a lot of the wallpaper on the set is literally taken from the Ellen Show itself.
Yeah.
And then you have the couch, the big white couch where God will do his show, and then you have the side booth, and then you have Michael, going through the audience and asking the questions with a mic. So it's very much like you're seeing a show on air live.
Yeah. It's like God chose that form to give all of this information to the people.
You get a blessing, get a blessing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so cool. Okay, what about costume wise? Did you guys strut out in like angel garb with halos? Or
I'm very white. I'm nude. I'm just kidding.
We always knew Gabriel was
right.
Yeah, the angels basically. I think you could see we're all white tuxes with some wings. To show that. And what are you wearing, Tom?
I'm not sure. I'm wearing like a.
The show hasn't started.
No,
yet.
No. I yeah. I'm wearing like a white coat with gold buttons. I kind of look like a ship's captain.
I mean, I think the
Titanic is, was a couple months ago.
There is a it does have obviously a very a white look because I keep voicing the H's because I want to because I'm on radio. Because obviously it's celestial and it gives this it gives this godly look, but. But it was very important, too, for Eleanor Holdridge, our director, and Robert Krogan, our costume designer, that we have pops of color as well. So I know that we have, like, splashes of gold and things within what we're doing. I'm sure Tom has some color in his costume as well, just to give it more than just simply that sort of one block color look.
Gotcha. Tell me a little bit about you guys yourselves. I mean, we have three of you, so we can do the abridged version. But sort of like, you know, where Tom, like, where you grew up and how you got into acting.
Yeah, well, I actually grew up, I moved to the D.C. area when I was in seventh grade, and I had some amazing teachers and amazing parents along the way who took me to a lot of theater. So I grew up in this community seeing theater from a very young age. And I always say that's like, of my theater education, that was the most important. And then I went to Duke, and then I went to Juilliard after that, and I lived in New York for a long time, and I always worked in D.C., and then about 8 years ago, I decided to move here, and I work a lot with the Shakespeare Theater and Studio were the two first places that I worked, and then I've worked all over town, but this is actually the first time I've ever worked at Signature, so and I've been a big fan for a long time. I saw things in the like Gunson Arts Center when I was a kid, so I've had a long history with Signature, and I'm friends with many of the people who work there. So this is a thrill for me to be at Signature for the first time
in
this show.
Arc Theater,
in the Arc, which is, which we have to make a joke about.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah, we're going to have to
and
work that
And you just did
in.
Jesus Christ Superstar, I just remembered.
That's
so
right.
We're on like a holy roll right here.
We've
that's
got
true.
Some...
All right,
references.
Evan, I know you, but tell our listeners.
Sure. No. I grew up in Ellicott City, so closer to the Baltimore area, which is also unique because Jamie and I both are huge Ravens and Orioles fans, which is rare in any given theatrical production to have two people so impassioned about two of the same sports teams.
Well, I can get with you on the Orioles train. That's my team.
I appreciate
but I'm
that.
More of a DC football fan.
I understand.
There weren't Ravens when I was a kid and no Nets, so that's how I break it.
Right. That's true.
Evan has great long Facebook posts about the Orioles. Like if you want to follow the Orioles,
they're the best.
Your guy.
They're the best. Yeah, waxing poetic about days gone by. Like Tom does not have the market on great teachers and parents. I also had them.
Nice.
And they encouraged me and supported me throughout my career. And I went to Catholic U in D.C. and have worked a little bit professionally while I was in college, which sort of encouraged me to stay here. And I met my wife at Signature Theater years ago in a production of Allegro in 2004. Tracy Oliveira, my wife, also works a lot at Signature. And we work a lot around town just to... actor parents trying to make it happen in the real world, and so far it's been okay for us. So this city's been very good to us. So
did she call you her archangel at home, or is that?
Well, she will now. It's been on WTOP, so we're gonna make it a thing.
Oh, awesome! Thanks. All right, you sir.
Yeah, I'm actually I'm originally from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, North Myrtle Beach.
Nice.
Yeah, so I grew up surfing, never really got into the theater thing until high school.
Everyone there's territorial. They say it's North Myrtle Beach. They
it's
make a point.
There's a difference. Yeah. There's a huge difference. Yeah, North Myrtle Beach is where I'm from, and it's a little quieter than Myrtle Beach. And,
right.
Yeah, so I grew up there, started doing high school theater, then I went to College of Charleston, Charleston, South Carolina, one of the most beautiful cities. Then I went to Rutgers for grad school. And I always wanted to come back to D.C. after a while because I had a lot of family here. And the theater community is just so amazing. So about 5 years ago, I moved here and just started working for the first time. And I made a home for the first time and met my wife, Jenny Donovan, and married this year. And just loving it. I think this community is amazing. It's amazing. There's so many great theaters, so much great art going on. And I think for the first time I found, you know, my place. So it's wonderful.
That's great. So I love hearing where you guys have all come from. And now you've all died and gone to heaven. So I guess sort of in closing, why should we come out and see an act of God? I like ending with that because you've had sort of the whole interview just kind of ruminate on it.
Sure. Well, I mean, as plays go, it's a mile a minute. And it's like 90 minutes, and which first of all is always a great selling point because it's quick and short. But but seriously, it's it packs a big wallop of comedy punch in a very short amount of time, which I think, and it's also something, again, talk about social commentary, that it's important to hear these days. It sounds silly because it's sort of, you know, it can be sort of a passed off as just a silly piece of comedy, but there's some important messages that that are delivered in it that I think people can take with them.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's perfectly said. It's, the writing is incredibly clever and thought out, and it's genuinely funny. And then there's a lot of things that you could only get away with through comedy.
True. Yeah,
it's a good way to put it. Yeah, you can go into certain places. Yeah. And you can go certain places disguised
if people are laughing. Yeah. Then,
the things that God can say, right, not many humans can say. Right, yeah.
Awesome. Perfect place to leave it. Guys, again, it's An Act of God at Signature Theater, October 3rd through November 26th. Thanks so much for coming in, guys.
Hey, thank you, Jason.
God, Michael, Gabriel.
Gabriel.
Thanks so much.
Thanks,
give my regards to Clarence. We're just giving out wings in here. All right, thanks, guys.